Welcome, Thrivers, to the Thriving Parenting Podcast, where we're here to celebrate the imperfect journey of parenthood, leveling up in areas that feel icky and out of whack. Our mission is to help you find a more confident and 100% less tired, sustainable version of you, no matter what kind of parenting day you're having. Because I truly believe to thrive as a parent, we need to begin with a thriving you. I'm your host, Jen, a parent of three, RN, mind-body practitioner, baby toddler sleep coach, and parent mentor who has helped over 500 families achieve more rest and level up their parenting life. Join me each week as we embark on a quest to silence your inner critic, drop the shoulds, and redefine norms, raising your little ones with ease, regulation, resilience, all while prioritizing your own well-being too. Through insightful discussions on mindset, parenting, and sleep, we'll cut through the noise and arm you with the tools to thrive, not just survive in parenthood. If you are ready to thrive together, one episode at a time, let's do it. Welcome, Thrivers, to another episode of Thriving Parenting. Thank you for having me once again in your ears, and I hope you gain so much insight from this episode. We're going into, does my baby need a sleep routine? And it is so powerful, the effects of a sleep routine. I have to tell you about it. So I want you to feel empowered and thrive in your parenting, and I believe a sleep routine will help you on that quest. So not to get confused with the schedule, by the way. A schedule is very different, having set timings for naps, but we will cover both so you feel really empowered with the knowledge in front of you and you can make those decisions that work for your family. So excited, let's dive in. I actually want to start with an interesting story with one of my current sleep godmother clients who had spent so many days, pretty much her whole baby's 8 months of life, on the go, like napping here and there, just sporadically sleeping, sometimes being home, sometimes not, just a lot of on the go sleeping. And she actually said to me the other day, so unfortunately, they had some illness, they got sick and couldn't really leave the house. But she said, I'm actually feeling so blessed that I have been given this opportunity to allow for sleeps in the home and to see a natural rhythm and pattern emerge. Because what was happening prior is that her baby's body clock was all out of whack, all over the place. Lots of resistance around sleep, really misattuned cues, not sure whether they're hungry, tired, what do they actually want? And it felt really confusing on a daily basis to parent. Whereas her getting sick, spending time at home, naturally creating more regularity, she's like, oh my God, I can actually see the benefits of having some stability around sleep and how it's impacted her ability to self-soothe, to actually do some longer stretches of sleep independently. She's seen such a major roll-on effect. And it's just so great for her to see that, because now I've noticed we're about, what would we say? Because we had a break when she was sick. We're about 12 days into support. And the notes that I'm seeing on this parent's log is mind-blowing. The attunement that's going on now is craziness. She is able to really trust and believe in her child. She's able to set her up for sleep so well. And how she's telling me things, she said, oh, you know, she was grizzling. I watched and waited and she put herself to sleep. She's just attuning to what she needs and really creating this beautiful sleep pattern that is serving them on a bigger level than ever before. Her baby's more well-rested, the mum is more well-rested, and everyone is happy and healthier in the awake time. So it can have major impacts having a sleep routine or a sleep pattern or flow to your day. So that is one tangible example where you can see this mum was so another way. And while working together, we've just shifted so much and seeing such amazing results. So a sleep routine by definition is the calming activities you do before your baby's bedtime or the different activities you do before a nap time. So your baby learns to feel safe and secure with what's coming next, because your baby or your toddler cannot tell the time. It relies on cues from you as to what is going on in their day. And knowing that cues can build that safety and security and trust because they can relax into their day, knowing what's coming next. Sleep isn't just coming out of the blue and creating a big shock to their system when you decide to go and put them down for a sleep. You've provided those little steps that start to actually have an effect on their body. They start to go into that rest relaxation response because of the cues you've provided. So that's sleep routine by definition. I like to kind of say a sleep routine is kind of combining those powerful cues that we can add as a parent, but also having a pattern and flow to the day. Rather than a sleep schedule, by definition, is having set timings each and every day. And where you'll find is likely when your baby is over 6 months of age, you might find that they naturally fall into certain sleep timings during the day. You roughly can say they have a nap between 9 and 10, and then they have another nap between 1 and 2. This can generally start to happen. So rather than think, okay, I need to have consistent time to the dot, it's like a sleep schedule has started to form based on them getting older, their circadian rhythm developing more, and they naturally fall into these nap windows, if you like. So I think everyone gets so fearful of a sleep schedule and think it has to be so rigid, but it's just really equipping roughly what time they go down based on their behavior or their responses, and aligning that throughout your day and creating that on a daily basis where you can, which really aids easy sleep settles and supports a longer stretch of sleep. So what we can say is both a sleep routine and a sleep pattern or sleep schedule or flow that roughly happens at a consistent way throughout your baby's day, both really help promote healthy sleep habits, because the routine itself, all the lead up steps, the activities leading up to sleep, help prepare your baby for sleep. And the sleep schedule or the sleep pattern that you've created in a consistent way, most of the days, you're going to start to promote and help regulate your baby's internal clock, which also helps make easier settles happen and easier sleep periods. It will help your child as well if there's changes going on in their life, like starting daycare, even a baby natural challenge that they will work through is being unswaddled. If their routine is all staying the same, they're likely to just see a couple of days and be able to really adjust quite well. Toilet training, adjusting from a cot to a bed if it's the right time for your child. You're going to see them with a stable routine, sleep routine that they know, they trust, they feel safe with, because it happens majority of their life. They are going to find then change less stressful and adapt quicker. So let's talk about your baby's internal clock for a second, that circadian rhythm. What we know is it's been around for millions of years. It is within plants, animals, humans, and it really governs our sleep-wake cycle. We use environmental cues to really see shifts in night and day, temperature shifts, and it shifts every 24 hours or so. But roughly, you can say it's a 24-hour clock that resets every single day. It helps us conserve our energy, and it helps us find food within that awake period. And it also allows us to repair and grow in our sleep. So it's so powerful when it's aligned. It works so effectively to support a healthy human being. So your baby's circadian rhythm, they don't wake up one day with a circadian rhythm. Generally, things are happening to establish the circadian rhythm. From about 12 weeks, you can say normally it's established, but it can actually keep establishing up until about a year. But basically around the 8-week mark, you can start to get the rhythm of cortisol forming within your circadian rhythm. By about 9 weeks, the sleep efficiency can start to fall into place. By 11 weeks, we've got the temperature rhythm. These are all parts of your circadian rhythm. You've got hormones, you've got your temperature, core body temp regulation, you've got sleep wake cycle, you've got immune system, you've got your metabolism. Like, this all helps shape your circadian rhythm. It's all part of your circadian rhythm. And generally, we can say, and often you might have heard already, you know, 3 months is a really good age to start to develop a sleep routine for your baby. And it's often because most of that circadian rhythm, the core development, is formed by that time. If you are currently struggling with your baby or toddler's sleep, judging yourself too harshly on the sleep outcome, and constantly feeling like you don't know what you're doing or what to try next, our signature 2 to 3 week sleep godmother program is for you. We believe offering sleep advice while ignoring the parent and their feelings is a huge disservice, which is why our program has been designed to empower your confidence in navigating your child's sleep, supporting sleep optimization while nurturing natural sleep processes, creating feel-good change while minimizing the stress and overwhelm. You'll have me, Jen, as your one-on-one sleep godmother and coach, empowering your parenting journey every step of the way. For more information or to check out this service, head to our show notes. So when us as adults or our babies or toddlers have misaligned circadian rhythms, maybe they're having like a huge wakeful period in the night and then they're sleeping in the morning and then they're going to bed at this time and then they're waking up multiple times again, or then they're getting up early. Can you see that misalignment that's happening, which means a lot more sleep problems when their biological clock can't function and thrive in a rhythmic way that it loves? And as you know, I am such a passionate advocate for getting the sleep that we need, because it's such a prominent main source of our health and well-being. And it supports so many elements of our child's development. So when we see that misalignment with that circadian rhythm, we don't have a sleep routine in place, we don't have regular nap times happening at roughly the same time each day, we can see increased sleep problems. We can see decreased duration of sleep, so very broken, sporadic sleep. We can see a delayed sleep onset where it takes forever to settle your babies or toddlers to sleep, maybe hours sometimes. We can see increased night wakings. And this isn't to say that your child shouldn't wake up. It's very age appropriate to have feeds overnight. It's saying that if you're getting hourly to hourly wakes, potentially a lot can be resolved with your baby's sleep routine to begin with. And I don't want to say this to scare you, but I really want to give you factual information. And what we do know about misalignment in our circadian rhythms as children, as adults, if it's never resolved, we are more likely to develop insomnia as an adult. And that is not fun. I've got relatives that have insomnia, and I honestly, after having a good night of sleep, I really feel for them, because cognitively, everything is harder when you're not getting that amount of sleep. And to cope in today's life with all the stresses that we have, all the to-do lists, and trust me, it doesn't get easier when your children get older. The amount of school emails and to-do lists that I have and have to hold space for, also my work and to function and to run a house, it's insane. So if I wasn't getting that sleep, holy crap, I would be literally in survival mode on a daily basis, where I'm not. I'm getting that sleep. I respect my circadian rhythm. I make sure that I look after myself so I can show up and be that best version of myself for my family and for people around me and in my work and in my coaching, all of the things. So a misaligned circadian rhythm, we can have performance issues as adults. We can have performance issues as children. The ability to concentrate on a task. Often we see children that are not getting that sleep. They're jumping between different things. Their attention spans are very small because they're just in a bit of a funk with their sleep patterns. And it's really, really hard to function the way that is going to support them to learn well, develop well, when we're not getting that core foundation, basic need of sleep. And the area I love to niche in, which a sleep routine really helps with, is emotion and social interactions. It is harder to manage stress when we're tired. It's harder to regulate emotions when we're tired. We can experience more mental health problems when our sleep circadian rhythm is constantly misaligned. And regulating emotions and managing stress in parenting alone is so important. You know when it feels when you've got your shit together and you feel like the stress is manageable, you generally function better. And the same with our kids. We often see if their circadian rhythm is continuously adjusting every single day with early mornings, late mornings, split nights, late bedtimes, early bedtimes, you're going to welcome tantrum central. You are going to welcome really hard moments in day-to-day parenting things that we need to do, like feeding and sleep. You're going to get a lot of behavioral problems that really don't make it very fun to parent when their biological clock is misaligned. It contributes to accidents, having a car crash when our circadian rhythm is all over the shop. If we've been awake for hours on end in the middle of the night, sometimes you just drive somewhere, right? And you're just like, how did I even get here? I don't even remember going through traffic lights. How scary is that when we feel that? And we've all been there. I'm not going to deny, because I'm an advocate for healthy sleep and routines, that I haven't been sleep deprived and driven my car, because I would be absolutely telling you a load of crap. I have definitely felt the effects of my circadian rhythm being out of whack for a period of time. And a really important one, poor sleep over a period of time, you're at higher risk for health problems, diabetes, heart attacks, all of the fun things. We're just here, hit me with it, because our immune system is down based on not functioning and thriving the best way it can. So I know some of you will say, oh, I'm just not a routine person. I can't be at home for every single nap. And I really want you to know that is not what we're saying here. That's not what I'm saying here anyway. I really believe you can create a really amazing sleep routine for your family and still do naps out and about. I 100% vouch for that. So what can we start with if this is how you feel, if the thought of being home every single day for your mental health is going to drive you bonkers? Start with something small, like a consistent bedtime and a consistent wake time for the day. If you're going to say to that, my baby was up for a few hours in the night, you know, I want to let them sleep in. Generally, we know our body clocks adapt well to about half an hour from the regular norm awake time. So if you can pick your baby normally wakes at, say, 6:30 or whenever it might be, and they've had a 2-hour party in the middle of the night, still wake them at 6:30, because if their body clock is misaligned, it's going to keep creating that misalignment and you're going to keep actually reinforcing those split nights to appear. So wake them consistently at the same time every single day. This is going to set your baby's circadian rhythm up. And a consistent bedtime, the same deal. You're sort of starting your day at the same time and ending it at the same time. And in between that, depending on their age and stage, there's a few naps thrown in there. That in itself can make a world of difference, just starting with a regular start and bedtime. And keep your pre-sleep ritual simple. You don't have to be doing elaborate things in order to get your baby down for a bedtime. It has to involve things that you both enjoy. If you're not a book reader, don't read a book. Play a quiet game instead. Some recommendations based on research tells us that a bedtime routine should be 30 to 40 minutes max. And this isn't that you're 30 to 40 minutes settling your baby in their cot space. This is the activities leading up to sleep times. And it should be as many times in the week as you can. So that regular, consistent bedtime, again, within reason, it doesn't have to be exactly 7 p.m. every single night. It can be within about half an hour range is usually quite healthy and maintainable for a lot of children. So it's as many times as you can create that consistency in a routine leading up to sleep. We want 2 to 4 adaptive categories, like feeding, bathing, brushing teeth, reading a book. Some days you might not get in till late and you don't read a book and you just give them a wet flannel damp down, get them dressed and pop them down. So they're adaptive components of your bedtime routine. It's important that it includes positive parent-child interactions. This is prior to the sleep onset, so we have spent time connecting, filling up that love cup, if you like, before a separation at sleep time. That's so important, that connection time, cuddles, singing a song, whatever it might be that works for you and your child, it's so, so important. We want to try and avoid electronic devices to wind our children down for bedtime. If we say to ourselves, our children only calm by watching TV, this gives us a really good way to work on some different parenting approaches to see if we can establish a wind down in other ways. Maybe they don't want to go into their room until closer to very much going into their cot space. Maybe you can just take them out on your hip and walk around the garden, say goodnight to the stars, find the pets in the house, say goodnight, or start to create some calmness with other activities that feel good for you. Screens also inhibit the production of melatonin, the one sleepy hormone we want in abundance to help them settle down for sleep. So really be wary of TV use and bright lights. So if you're going into their room, putting a bright light on to read a book, look at creating a dimmer light situation so that they can really start to get and learn their body's feelings of tiredness and start to respond to that. Just begin with a few steps. You don't have to go crazy and create this elaborate routine that you can't maintain because it's so different from what you're currently using. Just start adding a few little basic steps that you do every single time before bedtime. And once you create consistency there, you can decide to add more steps if you feel that would benefit your family and things are starting to improve. It's really important as well not to fight against your child's individuality, but really find what seems to relax them and what works for you. Because honestly, there is no one size fits all. I reckon if you just went down your neighborhood and ask every parent, what do you do before bed or what's your thing? They'll say something different that either you've never heard before or never thought about, but it works for them. And as I just mentioned before, we are trying to create this as many times during the week as possible, but you have to maintain that flexibility. No one is going to explode if you don't create a bedtime routine one night and you've been out for dinner and you've literally come home, maybe fed and popped them down. No one is going to explode. Routines are designed to get disrupted from time to time. A child's circadian rhythm won't, with all that regularity that you've created, won't just change in a day or a couple of days. It will take a consistent period of time to become really dysregulated again. I seriously want nothing more for you and your child than to find sleep less stressful, to find that it's easy, relaxing, there's a connection there, it feels pleasant, and a sleep routine can help you do that. So that's it, Thrivers. We've come to the end of the episode. And as I normally do, I will leave you with a quote. So the quote is, "The point of parenting is not to have all the answers before we start out, but instead to figure it out on the go as our children grow. Because as they do, so will we." That's from Bridget Miller. Until next time, Thrivers. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of Thriving Parenting. I hope this episode has inspired you in some way to embrace the journey with all of its imperfections, with more confidence, joy, and self-compassion. As a serial podcast sharer myself, I know the power that one shared episode can have for someone. So if you know anyone who would benefit from this episode, pay it forward and share the love and support with them. If you'd like to connect with me and find out more about how I can support you on your parenting journey, you can find me over on Instagram where my handle is sleep_thrive_grow. For now, my advice is to embrace your human need to grow so you can start to thrive in the best way you can. Because happy, healthy parenting starts with a happy, healthy you. Until next time, Thrivers.